Today she is Masechta Gittin Daf Yud Dalad. We will begin on Masechta Daf Yud Gimel on the base, six lines from the bottom. In our previous year, the Gemara had introduced a new type of kinyan, a kinyan of Mamet Shloshtan. And as the Gemara had described, the reason, as a Maimer had taught us, why is a kinyan of Mamet Shloshtan effective? Because what a Mamet Shloshtan says is that if we have a loiva, somebody who borrowed money, a malva, the person who lent the money, and a third party there, and the malva instructs the loiva, give whatever you have, whatever's owed to me to someone else, instead of giving it to me, give it to someone else. The halacha is if they're all three standing there, it's considered a kinyan, even if they did not actually do a kinyan. And as we learned in our previous year, Maim explained, why is this a valid form of making a kinyan? Maim said, because when somebody makes this type of a kinyan, when somebody borrows money, for example, when I borrow money from someone and I obviously obligate myself to repay what I owe, I am essentially announcing that I will pay back to whoever I am instructed to pay it back. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi Rashi Lameima Ela Ma'ata, if that's the case, Hikna Leilodim, if the Mamet Shloshtan was conducted, that I, the loiva, have to pay back to somebody who was only born after I borrowed the money. The Lehav B'Shas Matmos, that this person was not in existence when I borrowed the money. Hachinami Leikanu, would that be a reason that we shouldn't have a Mamet Shloshtan? Because, explains the Gemara, even if we have a machloikus throughout Shas, if Adam Makna Dovash Shalabalaylam, if you can do a transaction on something that doesn't exist currently, that Phil Rameya and even Rameya that takes the lenient approach, Adam Makna Dovash Shalabalaylam, that even something that doesn't exist could be the subject of a transaction. Says the Gemara, Hani Mili, that's when was that said? The Dovish Yeshna Boilam. I could sell something that doesn't exist yet. As the Gemara quotes Rameyer in a number of places throughout Shas, Masechta Yevamim, Daf Tzadigim, for example, that if there's an individual who's not Jewish, but he says to another woman, Hare at Mekadeshesli Acha Shez Gair, we should become married for after I become a ger, or lachish des gairi, after you become a geyoris, or after I'm an evit currently, or you're a shifcha. In all these cases, the rabbana hold that it's not a valid kedushin because it's a davish la belaylam. Right now, this person isn't Jewish. Right now, this person is still an evit. And Rameya's opinion is that it is a valid kedushin, and the reason is because Rameya holds even though it doesn't currently exist, it could be the subject of a transaction. But even Rameyer is only lenient in a case of a davashola balaylam, but not to something that will not be to somebody that's not going to be in the world. So Tosfos asks a question: well, if I make a kedushin, that the kedusha will be effective with a woman who's currently not Jewish, but the kedushin should be effective after she mezgayer. So right now, this Jewish woman doesn't exist in the world. And if our Gemara is now teaching us that even Ramey agrees that something that doesn't exist, the kedushin is not effective, so why should that kedushin ask Tosfos to be effective? I'm making a kedushin to somebody who doesn't exist because she doesn't exist as a Jewish person. So Tosfos answers that we're referring to a situation where this person obviously physically exists, and not only does that person physically exist, but it's imminent that that person is becoming Jewish, or that person is getting freed. That's why Rameya will consider it as if I made a kedushin with somebody who exists. Whereas somebody, as the case of Al Gemara, that wasn't in the world at all when the halva when the loan took place. And we said that Maimer said that why is it effective? Because when I take upon myself the obligation to pay, I've taken upon myself for whatever will come. That person isn't here yet. Wasn't here yet when I took on that obligation. How could that obligation be considered a valid obligation? The Sefer Panim Yosefus asks, how when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Kohanim that they will be entitled to the Matnas Kahuna, is the halacha that remains forever? Asked the Panim Yosefus, those Kohanim and all future generations weren't here at the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this halacha. And we're learning now that Lidova Shalabal Oilam, you can't make a kinyan. Says the Panim Yosefus that the Shulchan Aruch and Chayshe Mishpat Simon Reish Gimel Sif Yud teaches us if you make a kinyan and it has two parts to it, that part of the kinyan is on a dover, according to the Chachamim even. You're making a kinyan on something which already exists, and you're also at the same time selling something that doesn't exist. Says the Shulchan Aruch that since the kinyan is effective for what is already in the world, it will be effective even for what isn't in the world. Here too, since the kinyan of the Matnas Kahuna was effective for Aaron and his children, who were obviously there when they got the Matnas, when they were promised the Matnas Kahuna, it will be effective even for those who were, for all those Kohanim and the future generations who weren't there yet. And he says that's what the Pasuk says when it describes the Matnas Kahuna, Nesunim Heim Loi Meis B'nei Yisrael. So he focuses on the Nesunim. Why does the Torah say the word Nesunim? So he says that the Torah is trying to teach us this very halacha, that Nesunim, the people who already are here, the Aaron and his children who are already here, are certainly entitled to the Matnas Kahuna. Nesunim, because they're getting it, it will be also effective for those who are not here yet. And that's why the question is, when Esav sold the Bechira to Yaakov, how could he sell the Bechira? The Bechira wasn't a relevant halachic principle. So it's a Dovah Shalai B'l'Olam. So the Tzais asks, how could that be an effective Kenyan? So he quotes a Rivash that it was before Matan Torah, and since it was before Matan Torah, the halacha that you can't do a kinyan on a Dovah Shalai B'l'Olam was not yet in effect. And he says that's pshat when Yaakov Avinu and Esav had this discussion about Esav selling the Bechira to Yaakov. The Pasuk says, "V'yomer Yaakov, michra k'yoyim es becharas chali." The question is, what does the Pasuk mean? What does the Torah write? What does the Torah mean with that word k'yoyim, like today? What it meant to say, he explains, is k'yoyim, that today, even though this is a kinyan on a Dovah Shalai B'l'Olam, and a Dovah Shalai B'l'Olam cannot not be part of a kinyan, but k'yoyim, now as we stand in a time before Matan Torah, as we stand now in a time of before Matan Torah, then it can be a kinyan. That's what he's saying, k'yoyim, because we stand now here in a place before Matan Torah, that's why this kinyan could be a valid kinyan. If it weren't k'yoyim, then actually, indeed, it would not be able to be a valid kinyan. But again, our Gemara, when this loiva took upon himself the obligation, the person who he is now being instructed to give the money to wasn't in existence. And says the Gemara, again, Dafil Ramey Dama Odamak the Dovish Labal Oilam, Hani Mila Lid Dovish Yeshta Boilam. If you make a kinyan with an individual who already exists, Ava Lid Dovish Enabilam, to make a kinyan with someone who doesn't yet exist, Loi, even Ramey agrees that it would not be an effective kinyan. So we have to re-understand why Mamet Shloshtam is effective and no further kinyan is required. El Amar Rav Ashi, Bahu Ano. The reason a Mamet Shloshtam is effective, Bahi Ano De Kamishtanalei, that Be Milva Yishona La Milva Chadosha. Till now, I owe the money to whomever I owe the money. Now I'm being instructed to pay it to someone else. That to me is a benefit. Why is that a benefit? Because money that I owe for a while, I obviously have an obligation to ready pay. Here, it's a new person who I owe the money, so the obligation to pay isn't that strong yet. Gomar or Meshabat Nafshe, that causes that I should be satisfied with this transaction. Either Loiva should be satisfied with this transaction. So as the Rishonim all explain, often in Shas, the definition of it, we speak about a kinyan. And the question is, why is there a kinyan? What is the purpose of the kinyan? What is the kinyan all about? And the answer is, a kinyan shows a gemiras das. A kinyan shows that I am serious about this transaction. Here, the fact that I've been given this opportunity not to have to pay the person whom I owe money to for a while already, that is certainly something that creates a gemiras das. And since it creates a gemiras das, that's why it's considered a valid kinyan. Omlei funibra braid rav nechemila rav ashi, if that's the way you're going to understand, el mahato, if that's the case, could go in hani debay baral yoshev. Even there are people who don't accept being owed money. And let's say the person to whom the obligation was being transferred to were people from this family. They were the family of Baal Yoshev. The Kafsi v'shakli l'alter. They demand to get their money immediately. So if we say that the entire reason the Mamet Shloshtan is effective, because I am satisfied to be in this place, that I don't have to pay right away, but here I'm going to have to pay. So why are we going to say that we don't say Mamet Shloshtan? V'chi tema. And if you indeed suggest, Hachinami, that when we're speaking about such individuals, so they don't have this Hanor, and therefore the Mamet Shloshtan should not be effective, says the Gemara, is that possible to say? Imke nasata dvarecha l'shurim. The halacha is that whenever there's a shear given in halacha, whenever there's a measurement, whenever there's a size given in halacha, it's one size that remains under all situations. And we don't say, well, it depends who what. So we can't say, well, a Mamet Shloshtan is going to be effective by a person who will give me an extension, and it won't be effective by a person who is not going to be effective. And as the Ksav Sofer says, as we've been explaining the Gemara, the entire reason, says the Ksav Sofer, why a Mamet Shloshtan is effective is based on an umdana, on an assumption that this loiva is satisfied. But how can we make that assumption if it's not, how can we make that assumption if it isn't always true? And based on this, that we see in halacha, there's a concept of nesata dvarech l'shurim, that Chazal don't make different rules for different situations. I saw a shaila, what's going to be the halacha? We speak very often in Shas about toikadei dibur. For example, if somebody makes a transaction, he can retract Tarkadei Dibur. And the shear of Tarkadei Dibur is either the amount of time to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe or the time to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe Amayri. But there are people that speak quicker and there are people that speak slower. So how will we view the shear of Tarkadei Dibur? Will it be a different amount of time for different people or will it be one time? And I saw the Sefer Chashukei Chemet says it'll certainly be a certain amount of time, which will be, he says, the average amount of time it takes for a person to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Shalom Alecha Rebbe Meiri. But that will be for everyone, even though I may be an individual that speaks quicker or I may be an individual who speaks slower. When Chazal give a shir, it's the same shir for everyone. Elam HaMazutra says Zutra. So now again, we're back to where we began. We have to understand what is the reasoning behind Mamet Shloshtan being effective. Ela Amar Rav Zutra, the reason is Hani Tlasmili, the three halachas that Chazal established, Shavu Rabbanan, Kilch Sabalai Tama. Like Halach Lamash Mesinai, even if we can't come up with an explanation. Chodaha, one is this example. Vidach is another example, another halacha. Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, HaKaisu Kal Nechasov Lishtai, if somebody wrote a will, writing over all of his assets to his wife, even though we look at the wording of what he wrote, He wrote he's giving everything to his wife. We could be certain, that's the way Rashi explained this Gemara, we could be certain that a person did not mean to completely exclude his children. And even though the wording is that he's giving it to his wife, what he really meant was he just wants her to be the administrator of these funds. Idach, another halacha, Dama Reb Chanina Amasi Ish L'Bnai Gadol B'Bayis. If somebody built or prepared a house for his son, in those days they prepared a home for the son as they got married to live in, Kanoi, even though he didn't write explicitly that he's going to give that house to the son, we could be confident that's what he meant. But the Rashbam, when he discusses this Gemara, when this Gemara is brought, the Masechet Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Mem Dal Ramad Aleph, actually attaches a number of conditions. Number one, this is only by his older son. Number two, if the son is marrying a Basula. Number three, it's the first time this son is getting married. Number four, this older son is also the first of all of his children to get married. And number five, that the father never used the house. From when he gave the son the right to live in this house, he never used the house for his own purposes. When all of these conditions are met, again, we could be confident, according to Tosfos' explanation, that even though he didn't say it, he meant to give it to his son. So we go back to Mamet Shloshtim. Amalei Rav Rav Acha Bardala. Kavad Marika Isli Gabach. I have a jar of karkum, a very expensive spice. And he said to Rav Acha Rav said to Rav Acha Bardala, you're holding on to my jar of spice. Yave Kamplani, give it to somebody else. Don't give it back to me. Give it to him. And he says, and he's standing there, and he says, I'm guaranteeing you that I'm not going to reverse my mind. Mechlal, isn't what Rav is teaching us, that the boy Hadabay, that if I do want to change my mind, Matzah Hadabay, he's telling him, I'm not going to change my mind. Isn't this clear that he meant to say that if I want to, I may? Hachakama says, Mar, that's not what Rav meant to say. Rav was saying that this is a situation of a mamet shloshtim. And since this is a situation of mamet shloshtim, dvarim halal olay nitl chazara. It's considered like there was a kinyan that can't be retracted. But ask the Gemara, if that's what Rav meant to say, Rav has already taught us, ask the Gemara d'alocha, a mamet shloshtim. Dvarim Rav Huna Rav, as we learned in our previous year, if somebody says, manali biyotcha, you owe me money, instead of giving it back to me, to know Leplani, give it to somebody else. If it was done by Mamet Shloshtan, Kana. So if all Rav is trying to do here is again teach us the halacha of Mamet Shloshtan, why did he have to teach it to us again? Answers the Gemara. Imahi, if we only had that Gemara, Havamini, Hanimili, when was it said, Mamatana Maruba, Amana. And therefore, we are certain that he was, that's where we need all three of them to stand. Ava Matana Ma'atis, in a case where it's not such a significant amount, Loyli Boy Lefonov, Mamet Shloshtan should be effective even if all three parties aren't standing there. Kamash Malan, the Gemara teaches us that for Mamet Shloshtan to be effective, you have to have all three parties and only then can it be effective. Says the Gemara, Hani Ganoi, there were people who were partners in a field, in a vegetable field. The way I saw some Shem explained that they had been partners as sharecroppers in that field. They have to give the owner of the property a certain amount, and the rest they divide amongst themselves. So says the Gemara, Hani Ganoi the Ovid Chushman about Dadi, as they figured out what is the financial status here. Posh Chamesh Istri Zuza Gabichai Minayu. The way they came to their calculation was that one person had five Zuzim of this partnership. Amrile, and they said to him, this extra five Zuzim that you're holding on to, Yavinale Lamar Arab, give it to the owner of this feel that we owe him rent. And it was said, Bapi Mara, in front of them, so all the parties were here. The halacha is Karnamine, it's considered a kinyan, even though they didn't have a formal kinyan, it was considered a mamet shloshtan. Even though they didn't do Karnamine, they did a kinyan. L'saif, usul, chushbin bein delay l'nafshe. This person then recalculated, and he realized that l'paash lev gabamidi, that he doesn't really have any extra money. And as Tosis explains the Gemara, there's no argument here. They agreed he was an honest person, and they realized that he didn't have any extra money. So the Gemara says, Asl kamed Rav Nachman, the owner of the property, says, well, they already made a kinyan that I'm entitled to that money. How could they back off? Amalei, Rav Nachman said, my evidloch, what could I do? Chodadam Rav Huna, I'm a Rav, that a mamet shloshtan is effective. And over here, we had a mamet shloshtan. Void, and even if you didn't want to rely on a mamet shloshtan, hakonaminach, there was a real kinyan. And the fact that it was a real kinyan should certainly obligate you to have to pay. Amalei Rava, ata hai mi kamer, is this person saying the loy hevna? Is the person denying anything that's being said? Of course, he's agreeing that there was a kinyan and there's a mamet shloshtan. What he's saying is the leke gabay kamer. He says that this was the whole point. Everything that happened here was based on a mistake. Amalei, so Rav Nachman said, if that's the case, imkain, this is a different situation altogether. This is a situation kinyan betasu. The whole transaction was made based on an error. The kaltinyan betasu and some kinyan that's based on a transaction that's based on an error. Chayzer, itmar, says the Gemara. Somebody says to someone else, "Hailech money lepleini, please take this money to someone else. Shani chayev loy, that I'm obligated to pay him. So please take this money that I owe somebody and give it to him." I'm a Rav. The halacha is a chay b'chur yusay. So the question is that the Gemara is going to discuss now: does the person who sent the money still obligated in the responsibility? Can he say, "I gave over the money to the shliach. Once I gave the money over to the shliach, my responsibility is over"? So as the Rishonim and Achronim explain, the Gemara says that I, the loiva, still remain responsible. And the way to understand the Gemara is that even though I paid up, it's only considered I paid up partially, but it's not that I completely am absolved from the obligation. The obligation is not over until the person to whom I owe the money receives the money. On the other hand, but if I want to say, if that's the case, that I still remain responsible, I should be able to go back on the shlichus, the halacha is ein chayzer, I may not do so. Shmuel says, "Matar shachayev bechur yosai." If I'm still being held responsible, so then the halacha is in balach. If I want to retract and take the money back from the shliach, I may do so. Says the Gemara, "Leim bal kamifli." So, what is the basis? Suggests the Gemara of the machloikus of Rav and Shmuel. The mass of a hoylik kazachi dummy. That when I ask this person to take the money to the malva, what I'm saying to is take ownership in this money for that malva. And once it comes to the malva, I can't go back. Well, Masover, and Shmuel's opinion is, Hoylich, just because I asked you to take the money, lav kazachi dami, it doesn't mean that I've given you over, that the money is already liked by the malva. Says the Gemara, loy. That is not the way to understand. Says the Gemara, the Kulama, everyone's going to agree, Hoylich kazachi dami, that when I ask you to take the money on behalf of that individual, it's as if that other individual received it already, and obviously I therefore cannot take it back. What therefore is the machlokes? Rav, as we explained, says the two don't travel together. And just because we're saying hoylich kazachi, and I'm saying that you should take the money, and it's already as if the malva received the money, it's not to the degree that I am no longer responsible. Masov, and Shmuel's opinion is Amrina Migui. If it becomes the Malvis, so becomes the, if it doesn't, if I will be held responsible still for the money, so it's obviously not completely his. It can't have it both ways. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavosei the Rav. Rav, there's a Braisa that supports Rav's opinion, because the Braisa teaches us, if somebody says, Hoylach money leploini, shani chayev loy, take this money to this person, for I owe him the money, ten money leploini, or give this money to this person, shani chayev loy, hoylach money leploini, or I say, please take this object that I was asked to watch to the person, sheesh labiyodai, please take it back to him, or ten money leploini, because sheesh labiyodai, in all these cases, but chayev bechru yusoy, I still remain chayev in the responsibility, but I'm ba lachzer and a chayzer, I can't retract. Ask the Gemara, pikadon, in the case of the pikadon, the halacha is that I, who gave it to him, can't go back. Ask the Gemara, lemele, why could the person who's sending it not be able to say to the shliach, I discovered that this person doesn't want someone else, you the shliach, to hold on to this pekadon, and therefore, even according to Rav, that locha should be that I can be able to retract. Again, lemele, why can't I say to the shliach, I who sent this pekadon, say to the shliach that ain ritzonai, that the person who left the object by me doesn't want that should be somebody else. Amar of Zera answers the Gemara, the Bryce is speaking about a case, Kishahuchsuk Kafrin, that the person who was holding on to the object was already caught lying. He was already once approached to give back the Bikodin and refused to give back the Bikodin. Now he is finally giving back the Bikodin, and therefore Rashi explains that we could be confident that the person who owns this bikadon is very happy that it's not anymore in that person's hand, and therefore we can't say that, well, he really prefers it to be by me. The Meiri says, what about if the shliach is also not an honest individual? So then maybe the person who owns the bikadon could say, well, I don't want to bet a shliach, he's no more honest than the person who is holding on to the bikadon. Explains the Meiri that, yes, maybe we're referring here to a situation that both individuals are dishonest. But there's a difference when you deal with a dishonest person who lied already to you versus when you speak to a dishonest person who never lied to you directly. Here we're speaking about a case, explains the Meiri, where this person, the Shomer, who was holding on to the Bikadon, had already lied once. Since he had already lied once, the person is most anxious to get it out, get it away from him, even though the Shliach is not that honest. Says the Gemara, Rav Sheshes Havalei Ashata Abli. There was somebody owed him money that he had sold different balim, he sold a garment, and somebody owed him money in Mechuza. Amalei Rav Yosef Bachama. So Rav Sheshes said to Rav Yosef Bachama, who was traveling to Mechuza, Bahadi the Osis, you're traveling to Mechuza, so I'm asking you a favor, Isa Nili, please bring the money that's owed to me. Also, so Rav Yosef Bachama went to the people who owed the money for this garment, Yavale, and they gave him the money that they owed. However, Amrle, they said to him, Nikdiminach, you have to make a kinyan that you will be now responsible for the money. We don't want to have a situation where we're going to give you the money, but we still should be responsible for it. Amalu, so he said to them, in. I agree. Lasaif, when it came to time to do this kinyan, istamadle, he avoided them not to make the kinyan. Kasa lagabe, when Rabbi Yosef came back to Rosh Hashanah and reported to him what happened, he said to them, Amalu, you did well. Shapra vaded. What you did was a smart thing. The Lishavis Anafshach Eved Loi Velish Malva. You didn't take upon yourself this extra responsibility that you should be responsible for the money that you were carrying. Lishnachrina, there's a different version. It's a chapter about you did the smart thing by not making a kinyan and not taking responsibility for this money. Because Eved Loiv Lishmalva, this person had become, the people who owed me the money were responsible for that money to get to me. You did smart that you did not remove that responsibility from them. The Pasuk says that, the Ber Maim Chaim explains this, the Pasuk says that when Esav became aware of how Yaakov had received the brachas, says the Pasuk, the Kishmaya Esav is Divrei Aviv, the Yitzhak Tzaka G'dol Ma'ayir Oid, he was upset, and he said, V'yomil Aviv B'cheine Gam Ani Avi. So he said, when Esav heard that Yaakov now is in control of all the brachas, now Esav got very upset. Why, explains the Ber Maim Chaim, that just Esav gets so upset? Because Esav realized that at this point, he's always going to be responsible to Yaakov Avinu. And that he will be an Eved Loiva Lish Malva. And that is something that bothered him. The Dubbe Magid says, the Pasuk says, Emkesef Talvas Ami, if you lend money to people, as Sa'ani Imach, you should lend money even to poor people, Loisila Kenosha, and don't constantly ask him for the money. The Pasuk also says, he points out in Mishlei, Malva Hashem Chaynendal. He says, what is the Pasuk teaching us? He says, with a mashal, he says that somebody once asked somebody for a loan. And the Malva asked him, do you have a guarantor? And he went and brought two people that should serve as guarantors. One of the people that he brought as a guarantor was a wealthy person. And the other person that he brought as a guarantor was a poor person. Certainly, if the Malva would come to collect his money from the Loiva, and the Loiva will not have the ability to pay, he'll certainly will go to the rich person versus the poor person. Says the Bigna Magid, that's what the Pasuk says. When a person lends money to someone else, he should realize that who is the guarantor for that money? The guarantor for that money is Malva Hashem Chaynendal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes the guarantor. And when you lend money to a poor person, you could be confident, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I will be the guarantor. I become the Eved Loiva Lish Malva. So Rav Yaakov Emden asks on this Gemara that it seems that what he did, something what Rabbi Yosef Achama did, was really not that honest. He had said that he's going to make a kinyan to be responsible for the money, and then he avoided his obligation. So Yaakov Emden says that under certain circumstances, you're allowed to do it. Apparently, the way Rabbi Yaakov Emden understands the Gemara is that Rabbi Yosef Achama and Rav Sheshes, who Rabbi Yosef Achama was representing, realized that these people will never agree to pay, will always try to avoid paying what they're obligated to pay. So on one hand, he didn't want to take the responsibility. Why should he take the responsibility? On the other hand, he wanted to get Reb Sheshes the money that he's deserved. And therefore, in such circumstances, says Reb Yaakov Emden, he was allowed to do what he did. Says the Gemara, Reb Achab Reb Yosha, Havle Ispaka the Kasef, he had a vessel made out of silver, and it was a pikodin by people in Hador. Amalei Reb Destoy Reb Yanai, so he said to Reb Destoy Reb Yanai, or Reb Yosef Bekeeper, who were going to Nador, Bahadi Ad Asisu, as you come back from Nador, Asiyu Neili, please bring that vessel for us. Ozu, so they went to Nador, and they asked the people who were watching that keli to please give it to them. V'yavinale, and they gave it to them. Amale, and again, as in the previous piece of Gemara, they said, Niknu Menaychu, the said to them, are you going to make a kinyan to take responsibility if something happens? Amalei, so Rav Destoy and Rav Yosef said, Loi, we're not prepared to do so. Amalei, if that's the case, they said to him, Ahadri Nilon, give it back to us. We're not prepared to let you take it back if you're not going to take responsibility. Says the Gemara, Rav Yosef, Rav Yani Amalei, in. Says, we'll give it back to you. Rav Yosef, Rav Kippa Amalei, I'm not going to give it to him. Have a Kometzarali. So they started hurting, they started pressuring Rav Yosef Bar Kippa to give it back. Amalei. So the Shemri Begadim said to Rav Yosef, the story of Rav Yosef, Chazay Ma'ech Ka'avid. Look what Rav Yosef is doing, that he's not giving it back. Amalehu, Rav Dostoy told him, Tavar Amalei, this that you're pressuring him to give it back, Tavar Amalei, this that you're pressuring him to give it back, you're doing the right thing. And from here we see, I saw the Rishonim already point out, that sometimes if I'm in danger, I'm allowed to say something that to protect myself, even though I maybe shouldn't have done so. Kiyosel Gabay, when Rabbi Dostoy and Rabbi Yossi came back to Achim, Rabbi Yossi, Amalei Chazamar, Loi Mestayi, the Loi Sion, he said to them about Rabbi Dostoy, Rabbi Yossi said about Rabbi Dostoy, not only did he not help me, El Amalonami, he actually encouraged them. He said, Tavar Amalei. Amalei, Sir Achi asked Rabbi Dostoy, Amai Tavar Hachi, why indeed did you behave this way? Amalei, so Rabbi Dostoy answered, Oysem Nei Adam, the people that we were encountering were Hein Amma, a very tall, the Kaiba Amma, they even wore clothing that are very imposing, Madabrim Amma, and they speak from their stomach. They have a very loud, powerful voice. Ushmaiseim of Holim, even their names, their reputation is very frightening. Arda of Artla Beresh, Omrim Kfusu, if they tell somebody, tie a person up, Kaifsin, they will say so. They immediately listen to what they said. Omrim Haroigu, if they tell somebody, kill somebody. And they said, Ilu Hargus Dostoy, and I was frightened, and I said to myself, if they were to kill me, Nosnuyane Abba, who would give my father Yama another son, Bar Kamaisi? Actually, the Paiskim, based on this Gemara, say that the Shulchan Aruch in Yoridei Simon Reishmem Sif Bey says, Lo Yikrenu, person is not allowed to call his father by his name, Loi b'chayav, v'loi b'moisoi. Now when his father is alive or dead, El Abba Abba Mari says, the Shulchan Aruch, Hoy Shem Ovik Shem Acherim, if his father, the name of his father is the name of somebody else, Mishana Shemam, Im Hu Shem Shupeli, Shana Kol Regilism Bay. If his father had an unusual name, and there's another individual with that unusual name, don't call the person by that name. But if it's a name, if your father's name was a common name, then we could be more lenient. But the halacha here is that when you say your father's name, but you also add a title, you say your father, this is my father, and then you say your father's name, you say my father, my Rebbe. And in fact, we often find in the Torah that the Torah writes, Adoni Ovi Harosh. So we see that he called his father by his name, but he was able to do so because he said Adoni Ovi. Others say, the Rishash says that that's not a good raya, because the Rosh's name really wasn't the Rosh. That wasn't his real name. And he said the word Rosh, but it wasn't his real name. The Aruch HaShulchan, however, says that our Gemara is clearly a raya, that if you're saying your father's name, and you add a proper title, a title to your father's name, that it's mutter. And there's actually the Parashas Terachim brings another raya to this, because we find in the Torah that Yeshua addresses Moshe Rabbeinu, and he says, Adoni Moshe Kloyim. So he called Moshe Rabbeinu with his name. And Rav Moshe, the Sha'al Tshuvas Igros Moshe, Yeridei Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Lamed Gimel, says the same halacha. He says, discussed this halacha, and he says, L'chatchila, even if you're adding it on a title of honor to your father, you should still not say it, you should still not mention your father's name. Amalei, says Rav Achi to Rav Destoy, B'nei Adam Halolu, these people that you're so frightened of, Krivin L'machas Hain, do they have connection with the government? Amalei Hain, he said, actually, yes. Yeshlam Susum Abrodim, Shirotzim, then he asked them, Yeshlam Susum Abrodim, Shirotzim Achraim, do they have horses and carriages and mules that run wherever they go? Amalei Hain. Amalei, so he said, if that was the situation, then shaper of it, then what you did was, in such a case where you were frightened, this is a situation, as the Rajba explains, that it's an oinus, and you, therefore you're absolved for what they did. And the Rishonim already discuss here, there's a concept that's discussed in Halacha of matzl atzmoy b'mamon chaveroy. Can I protect myself with someone else's money? And why is this not considered matzl atzmoy b'mamon chaveroy? I can't use somebody else's assets to protect myself. So the Meiri says that I'm protecting myself with somebody else's money when I'm doing something on behalf of someone else. That means, says the Meiri, I can't use somebody else's money to protect myself for something that I got myself into. But to protect myself with somebody else's money because he got me into that situation, that is permissible, says the Meiri. Moreover, the Shach and others explain that here was an entirely different situation. It wasn't that they was protecting himself with somebody else's money. The question was, does he have to give it back or not? That isn't considered that he is protecting himself with somebody else's money. The question that comes up here, I saw that the Sefer Avnei Choshen discusses, if there's someone who is causing danger to people, am I allowed to turn that person over to the authorities? From here we see that when there's no other option, as in our Gemara, where as Rav Destoy described, the situation was quite serious and there was no way to take care of himself, under such situations you could protect yourself. Moreover, based on this, the Tfuah Shor says that we know there's a din in the Torah of Hechiach Teshechiach Asamisecha. We have to prevent people from doing the wrong thing. But from here we see that when the people are people who are dangerous people and it's not safe to stand up against them, it may very much be that the halacha is that you could just avoid saying anything to them. Says the Gemara, Hailach Mani Leplaini. If I ask somebody, take this money to someone else, v'holach, and he takes it, ubikshu, and he looks for the person who I had instructed to give the money, v'loi matzo, and I didn't find him, because the person who I had asked to give the money to had passed away. Says the Gemara, tani chada, one braisa says that the halach is, yachzru mishaleach, it should be returned to the person who sent the money. V'tanya idach, it should be given to the person who it was sent, says the Gemara. What is the basis of this machlokes? Presumably, the mass of a halakhah, when you asked me to give the money to this person, what you're saying is that it should become that person's money. And since you ask, it becomes that person's money, if he passes away, it goes to his yarshim. Or mass of a, when you ask me to give this money to this individual, it doesn't become that person's money. Says the Gemara, no. Just because you ask me to bring the money to that person, it doesn't become that person's money yet. When the person who sent the money was a bari, the halacha is that there's no kinyan. We don't have the concept of divrei shchimara kiksuvim kumsurin dami, that there was a kinyan here. V'ha b'shchimara. Whereas when it was a shchimara, we have, it becomes and it becomes the person who received it. It's considered as if there was a kinyan. Razvid has a different way of reconciling the two brises. If at the time the Shchimera gave this instruction, the person who was supposed to receive the money was still alive, so he became the owner of the money. And therefore, since he became the owner of the money, if he passes away, it goes on to his shluchim, to his yarshim. If he wasn't alive when the Shchimera gave these instructions, there was no kinyan. If there was no kinyan, had the leisel makabel mshas matana matmos. Rapapa mahava havebari. Both brises are speaking that the person who gave the instructions are actually bari. Hadamis makabel b'chayin noisin. If the person who was receiving the money died before, and therefore he never got the money, hadamis nois mechay mekabel. If the person who gave the money died, and therefore, and then the mekabel died, since at the time that the person died, the giver was still alive, the mekabel was alive. So we have here a new concept. And that is the concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. That since that was the will, wish of this person, therefore it has to be followed. Says the Gemara, Lema. So we should ask the Gemara, should we perhaps suggest that this question, if I ask you to take the money on my behalf, is actually machlok tanoim. The Tanya, hoylich money l'ploini. If I ask you to take the money on my behalf, and you went and you took it and you couldn't find him because he passed away, it should go back to the person who sent the money. It should go back to the person who sent the money's yarshim. It should go back to the people, to the yarshim of the people who it was sent to. We apply over here the concept of mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, and it should go to the yarshim of the person who was receiving it. The two parties, the yarshim of these two parties, should divide it. Kan amru, and above all, they said, says the Gemara, the shliach, whatever he thinks was the will of the person who sent the money, that's what he should do. Amr Rav Shimon Hanasi, says Rav Shimon Hanasi, Ayodei HaMaisa, I once had such a situation where there was a question what to do. For Amr Yachsu Yarshim Mishaleach, it should go back to the Yarshim Mishaleach, says the Gemara. My lab. So the Gemara wants to suggest, that what is the basis here? The Tanakam Savahilaklav Kaschi, and therefore, even though I sent them, the money was sent, it doesn't become the person who receives it until he actually receives it. Rav Nosson and Yaakov Nami Hoylech Lav Kaschi. That also that way, Nafagav, the Miss, and they're telling us that even though the person who sent it that passed away, we don't say Mitzlakayim Devar Meis, says the Gemara, Vyesh Oimrim. And the Yesh Oimrim say that Hoylech Kaschi, and that's why it belongs to the Makabel. Rav Nosson and Yehuda Nosson Shem Mashim Rav Yaakov Shem Mashim Rav Meir Hoylech Lav Kaschi, and it doesn't become the Makabels. But there's another factor to take into consideration. Miu Hecha the Miss, because the person who sent the money passed away, we apply here the concept of Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Hameis. The Chama Oimrim Yachloiku, because Masapku, they're just not certain what to do. The Kanama, and above all, they say Shuda. It's up to the Shliach to use his Seichel, to use what he assumed was what the person who sent the money, what did he want? And Rabbi Yishimon Nasi is not adding a new opinion. He's just Maisos L'Shminin. He's just coming to tell us what was done when such a situation actually came up.